welcome to the second episode of Top Video Game Podcast of the Week, HorribleNight.com's weekly check-in on the world of gaming, and I'm your host, Justin Lacey. Joining me this evening in their TVGP debuts are Aaron McNeil.
Thunderstorms, not yet.
And Justin Gifford.
Puppies!
Whoa. Let's get, we'll get to that.
Like a storm of puppies.
This is an interactive live podcast that we stream every Monday or Thursday night on Twitch.tv/HorribleNight. Each week we got a few questions for our chat audience, and we're looking for your answers to complement our own. So we want to know what your game of the week is, what your worst of the week in gaming is, and your best of the week in gaming. So we'll get to that in a little bit, but I haven't hung out with these gentlemen in quite a while. Gifford, tell me about your puppies.
Their names are Susan and Hawk.
And, one of those names is great.
One of those.
And it's Susan.
Oh. Yeah, that's actually what our vet was like. She's like that. She started laughing. The Spencer passed away a couple of weeks ago. He was playing, had a heart attack. It was peaceful for anybody who was listening. So it's okay. Best way to go. But he was named after a Robert B. Parker detective. It's an author in real paper, not video games. His two of the big main characters were named Susan and Hawk, so we decided to name them after him. They are Black Lab and Australian Cattle Dog mixes, and they're about 3 months old. And
trouble.
They're trouble because they're puppies. And despite all the really good worming that the foster parents did, they didn't get rid of everything. So there's a lot of poop going on right now.
And gross. And like you've. Like, not solid poop, it sounds like.
It's
as poop.
It's like pudding.
Pudding. Well, that's progress,
horrible,
probably.
Horrible smelling pudding.
Well, yeah, that won't taste good.
Don't get that confused. Well, good luck in your new parenting endeavor. Aaron, what have you been up to?
I've been watching some stuff lately. Memorial Day weekend, a lot of free time to just do whatever, like go to the movies and watch Great Gatsby with Leo. And that was a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
I thought.
What do you think of, like, it's kind of got mixed reviews, right?
Something like that. I've heard it's good for the most part, but I enjoyed it. It's one of those books forced to read in high school, so sure. I was familiar with it. And there's a lot of rap in the front half of that movie that it was just kind of funny.
Sounds about right. What?
Well, I mean, I feel like Baz Luhrmann's always going to get the mixed reviews. Like, I'm a big fan of his. Like, I like the fact he's kind of like, hey, I'm making a movie. I don't care if you can tell that it's a movie. I'm going to make it look awesome visually. So,
yeah,
you know, I haven't seen it. Gatsby yet, but
he's not great yet.
No, but I would not let that dissuade me, or the fact that I thought the book was a piece of shit.
Strong words. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have any allegiance to the book or not, but it's something I've read, and I call that an achievement.
Yeah, my girlfriend's excited about seeing the movie, but there's so many other movies are out right now that kind of trumpet, especially like in a theater experience. I just, I will probably end up seeing it, but have no idea what to expect since I never read the book. So I have no,
okay.
I have no expectations other than we, for some reason in high school, had a Great Gatsby joke, inside joke, just about calling everything great, but it's really not funny when put in that context. So
wait, how did you graduate without reading that? Cause we went to the same high school.
I did the bare minimum in English class, but yeah, we didn't read it. I didn't go through. Like I stuck to the hardcore math courses, not the hardcore English courses. So I tried to find like more creative writing classes. Then I don't know. I didn't have to read it. It wasn't in my list of books So.
Wait, so in terms of the movies, we got what, Star Trek and Superman. What other must see theater are
you right now? Right now, you got Star Trek, you got Iron Man 3, you got Fast 6. Those are three right there that I have to go see. So
you got to see Fast 6 in the theater. Six.
Yeah, you do.
I'm not saying I'm not going to see it because I am. I like, you know, killing brain cells without chemical assistance, but.
Well, The Hangover Part 3 is a better book, I can tell you that.
I want to walk out of the theater after seeing Fast 6 and somebody tell me that the book was better.
That would be incredible.
The magazine was great, but the movie, not so much.
I'll go ahead and steal your other one then, because the story I was going to tell that was interesting is, so I just finished, like literally before we podcasted, I finished Arrested Development Season 4. How far are you guys?
Three episodes.
Okay.
I don't really get that show. I don't think it's terribly funny. It's so weird. I can't do it.
Where's the mute button again for him? Jeez. Oh, man.
It's right here. Yeah, it's on my mic.
Trade in.
Here you go.
Let's see. There's 15 episodes.
My wife watches it, for the record. It doesn't do anything for me.
I'm sorry that your life is missing out on that. Particularly not, great detail.
I'm not missing out. I didn't think Seinfeld
not
was
enough
funny
Mass
either.
Effect in Arrested Development.
I didn't think Seinfeld was funny either, so.
Well, that's debatable.
Well, I'm going to continue my conversation with Aaron then, but.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll entertain you.
It is better than anything than I could have expected. I mean, I kind of expected the worst. So 15 episodes. I had to rewatch the first three episodes three different times just to.
Oh, wow.
Because they do a lot of, like, it's all about filling in the gaps between when the show took a break to right now and the way they jump through the timeline and then basically tell the story through, like, and focus on one character at a time and everybody overlaps and then the inside jokes all tie together by, like, episode 10 and it just becomes this brilliant timeline tapestry. Piece of art that, oh man, it's everything I could ask for. I was surprised.
I'm hoping to go through more of it, but I've seen a couple reviews word of mouth that people are like, oh, the first episode's pretty good or great, and then you get to 2 and 3 and they're like, oh, this show it's not as funny anymore. But I don't know, I was more or less half watching it yesterday, but I was laughing at stuff and I'm like, I don't know, maybe I'm just easily entertained or I'm being really stupid right now, but I'm still having fun watching it. I don't see what the problem is, and I don't know, I love me some Tobias.
Yeah, and they have he gets his own episode. It's, yeah, if you're a fan of, they actually do right by about every character. I was kind of worried. I was hoping so. The way it was paced at the beginning, I thought they were going to leave the kids out a little bit, but they get their own too, so.
Well, that's good.
Awkward.
So awkward.
It is awkward. It's
I think
so
that's
weird.
Really, it's a combination of, like, the fact that no entire, like, nobody in their life has that much weird, fantastical crap happen. So, like, I'm fine with, like, people on spaceships. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But, like, you're setting this in a realistic world, and nobody, like, there's no group of people that all interact together that are all that weird. There might be one person that's that weird, but they're not all that weird.
You have a point. I won't argue that, but I don't know. It's entertaining to me, but I see what you're saying. There's, like, the straight man is still weird enough.
Yeah, I don't hate anybody who likes it or thinks it's funny. Like, good. I realize I'm the weird one. I just
give it a shot. Come on. How many episodes have you watched?
Well, Carrie watches it. I don't know. Like, over her shoulder. Three or four?
Yeah, it is a very, very slow burn. Like, you almost have to watch the first entire season. But man, when everything comes back together, it's what it's all about.
Wait, you're saying I should, like, what, skip out on an entire season of River Monsters so I could watch that? I don't think so. I'm sorry.
All right, let's go to something else we have more in common. What's your game of the week, Aaron?
My game of the week is getting back into Guild Wars 2. I mentioned spending a lot of time Memorial Weekend staring at screens, and I've I've learned dangerously that people, I guess why people might die playing MMOs forever, because my beard was getting a little out of control. I wouldn't get up from the chair.
Wait, were you going full on Richie Havens?
Yeah, I had a jar of bones next to me.
Jar of bones.
Started. My wife's like, hey, did your dog get the pill she needs? And I didn't even turn around and look her in the eye. I'm like, no, I didn't give it to her, as I continued clicking buttons. And I was like, but in my head, it's like you're trapped in your own body. I love Guild Wars 2, to get back into it again, but I could feel my true self inside going, Air, you should care more about your life and your pets and everything. And I'm like, but I'm almost the next level.
Don't you see me about to ding? Damn it.
And I'm like, I'm about to ding. I'm about to get new items. And shout out to Verge for telling me about the South Sun event. I got all 25 achievements and the back item, the tentacle pack, or the tentacle suit, we were calling it. I got it.
Oh, okay.
There was so much swearing. I stayed up until 3 in the morning.
Jeez.
I had to do a jumping puzzle. It was
a jumping puzzle in an MMO.
In an MMO, yeah. So many expletives.
I think MMO stands for best platforming. that acronym's for. Yeah.
Yes, it's if you love keyboards and mice, you love to jump.
I think I saw a tweet before I took off for the weekend that you were going to try to get back into Defiant. So I was surprised that
no.
You know, we've been playing Neverwinter, so I was surprised that Guild Wars, of all weekends, decided to sink its teeth into you recently. So
I thought I would juggle.
I wish I could dedicate the time that game deserves, but with any MMO, it's just always it's like I will only want to give you 10 hours of time at once, or I don't give you any anymore. That happens rarely. So
yeah.
Gifford, how about you? What's your game of the week?
It will be getting back into... Well, I would say it was my game of the week, except it's
there are no
Thursday.
Rules. There's no wrong answers.
Okay. My game of the week will be Defiance.
Okay.
our friend of the site, Nicole, from...
Do you remember?
I'm drawing complete blank,
Pure Geekery.
River Monsters.
Yes, from River Monsters. Yeah, I have their t-shirt. But no, from Pure Geekery, we've been playing that game together, and she has been pursuing a purple Dodge Charger for I don't even know how long. But suddenly she sent me a tweet the other day of
how do you get the purple Dodge Challenger?
I have no idea.
So, but she's not going to spend like space bucks or like put real money in the game, right?
To get no, it. She did something
she's
to
earn
get
this.
It.
Wow.
she has. She sent me a screenshot of her character standing next to it and was like,
oh, and like a certificate of authenticity or some stock from Dodge itself.
I'm not gonna doubt her. She's like my Defiance partner. The only reason we haven't been playing.
No, I'm saying if she's putting time into getting that Dodge Challenger, that is a much better Dodge Challenger than the one that we all got when we pre-ordered the game or whatever made that unlock in my system. So good on her. Is what I'm saying.
I assumed it was a much better Dodge Challenger than the one they make with that you can't see out the windows.
So you're liking Defiance. Like this is your first MMO.
No, well, my first MMO was City of Heroes right when it came out. But it's my first return to MMO. It's fun. I can definitely see how it's even more fun when you're playing with a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Playing solo is hit and miss. Sometimes I really like it because I just want to zone out and headshot people with my cloak on. other times I'm kind of going, you know, dude, would you please get out of the way? I'm trying to complete this quest and you're taking XP by helping.
Oh yeah. I'm big on that. I think I was big on that in Neverwinter. And Aaron witnessed my dude. I got this like anytime.
Yeah.
Back off, man.
And they're great about assigning the proper amount of experience or loot. But at the same time, like, if you killed a guy I could have killed, even if you killed him by yourself, that's 30 experience points I could have gotten. Asshole.
We're the antisocial MMO players. Yeah. A lot of my gaming recently took place on my drive to family reunion this past long weekend, and I went a little bit crazy on the 3DS eShop and bought a few games, namely Donkey Kong Country Returns, which is a massive download, and then I also grabbed Mario vs. Donkey Kong Minis on the Move, I think. Only because, okay, first I'd read good reviews of it, and I was like, oh, I shouldn't have written that game off. I mean,
yeah, me
all
too.
The Minis games those games have been good, but it was also only like $10, which because I apparently hadn't read enough on this game to know what it actually was, because this is as close to like, you know, a puzzle game or on an iPhone or like an iOS designed Nintendo game that I've ever seen as far as like the way the levels are structured. Wow. It's just like, here's puzzle one, here's puzzle two, here's, you know, that's the first world, is 10 of these, and then you move on to the next one. And it's a lot of fun. It plays a lot like Lemmings, in more of like a 3D world. You basically have to make a path for your mini to run through from the start to the finish, and sometimes you like twist the path to get them to run around and collect all the items. But it was surprisingly deep, but also when I was playing it and kind of got reminded of, I was honestly reminded of just the way Angry Birds is set up as far as like one stage at a time. But because of that, I actually noticed a lot of design flaws in the menu system of this game. Because
oh really?
Just because it takes like when you finish a puzzle, you can't just immediately go on to the next one. It gives you the option to retry, or you go to the menu, and then you have to click like two or three more times to get to the next puzzle. And it's just like, if they literally had that, I would have played so much more if it just would have had that one option of just, let me just sprint through these puzzles, and I'll go back and, you know, get 3 stars or whatever. So it was just kind of interesting to see Nintendo, like, do some of those little aspects wrong to the UI, but the game is a lot of fun, and definitely that 3DS eShop is coming along. So, but that's what stood out, was the little UI errors. Kind of surprised me. Well, let's see what's going on.
Yeah, I thought about trying that game out, but I don't know. $10.
It's if you've played any of the other Minis games, like, I think you'll know if you'll like it, so. And I'm glad to see that. I guess I wasn't expecting. I expected a $30 Nintendo, you know, first party Nintendo product out of it, not a downloadable one. And I hope they explore that space a little bit more. So that was kind of a bonus.
Yeah, that would be nice. They can really fill that store up with some good games for cheap. I like putting games on my 3DS. I was even considering the Donkey Kong. I've got it on the Wii, but I'd probably play more of it if it was portable. Or if I had it portable, it is.
From some games of the week from chat, first up, Josh is still exploring his arcade machine and has been, he's been finding more and more beat-em-ups. This time he's been playing Night Slasher. I have not heard of this. but he's diving into the Data East catalog just because we're noticing that after playing several Data East games in a row, that they have a very specific style. So he says Data East is bringing the horror heat like Konami style, and now imagine a dude punching the shit out of zombies, werewolves, and vampires. So
sorry, wasn't Data East? Didn't they make games for the Apple IIe?
I don't think so. I don't know. I've always associated them with early arcade games. So.
I feel like I remember seeing Data East making like Karateka or Choplifter or something we played in Computer Lab.
Yes, yeah, that's, I think Choplifter might be one of their products. I'm sure they ported it, but I always associate them with arcade games. Mangler has been playing Star Trek Online. I keep meaning to venture into that, but Neverwinter still has my attention. Have you tried that one yet, Aaron?
What exactly?
Star Trek Online.
Star Trek Online? No. Okay. I've I've heard of it. I know it exists, but I've not tried it.
This is true. And then Verdian, I think we keep hooking him into Warframe, but he blames Aaron for that being his game of the week this week. So we still got, I think Warframe is in the regular rotation now on our live streams. So
apparently it was Coop. They mean to blame Coop for playing Warframe.
Oh yeah, it was Coop. Coop was playing that. Get the bow. Everybody buy the bow.
Bow.
All right.
The year of bow continues.
While chat's coming up with their worst of the week in gaming, what has had your attention on HorribleNight.com, Gifford?
I think it's probably going to have to be the kill screen article that you posted and agreed with on the Mega Headlines article earlier this week. Essentially, the premise of the article is that if you're the kind of person who watched the Xbox One release video
if you're the kind of person that gets excited for live streams of console reveals.
Yeah, it was not it was not aimed at you. Which I did not read before I wrote the article about Xbox introducing sci-fi technology.
Right.
But I'm with you. I 100% agree to it. And looking back, a lot of times prior to us publishing articles, we have back and forth. Justin and I definitely do. And his reaction to the article that I posted was, I really want to come up with some sort of like constructive counterarguments, but I can't.
Right.
And the fact that, like, once I read that article and you being like, I agree with everything they say, I knew exactly why you had no sort of counterargument.
Yeah,
I agree with everything these people said, too.
Here's my only question. That we all agree that the Xbox reveal wasn't for gamers or for the people watching. So do they really...
is meta weird, but...
But at the same time, they kind of have to have this event. So they more or less had this one hour reveal for press releases and for, like, general press, and there's got to be a better way to do that then. It's almost like they could have, saved face a little bit more. But
they did a horrible job with it too, because they didn't. There's no consistent message. Like I think it was over on Penny Arcade. They're going, hey, we're getting multiple different messages. Like we're getting one message from our geek buddies. We're getting one message from the Xbox or the Microsoft Online Entertainment or whatever it is. We're getting one message from them saying another thing, and then their PR department saying a third thing. Like, come on, guys. Like, nobody's confused about what the Windows RT is.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's just some bad coordination going on over there.
Well, I do like that we... You know, since Ethan and I had our just kind of initial reaction podcast to the reveal, that we're at least exploring the other sides of the story. And I don't think anything between now and E3 really matters too much as far as how Microsoft positions themselves, but they're going to have to put on a hell of a show.
I think ultimately they wasted money doing this. Like, nobody cares until... Like, the only people who are going to give a shit are going to wait till E3... And those people are going to be the ones who sell the platform to their significant others and their grandparents and their parents. And like, because that's what Xbox is aiming for. They're aiming to expand in the same way that Nintendo did with the Wii and get it into these non-traditional situations. I can see us having an Xbox One in my office because of the HD Skype, and I know it's going to work. We're just going to plug it in, it's going to go.
A fan of that.
But I'm a gamer.
Right.
So I'm going to be the one selling it to my boss who's 51.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of them blowing off their core audience was a mistake. Or at least a waste of money.
I think I wouldn't mind having a follow-up conversation with you on that. But do want to keep rolling. Aaron, what did you notice on the site?
I noticed... Ethan put up a Cheap and Dirty Gamer article about a game called Pooper.
I was hoping you wouldn't notice.
I noticed that. And so I really don't care anything else about that game except for the fact that it's called Pooper, and I haven't yet checked out the intro that he mentions, like an intro minigame that's apparently worth the time alone to play Pooper.
I think it's just, what, a game, kind of a platforming infinite runner that you're propelled by poop the entire... Yeah,
yeah, a bad case of diarrhea or whatever.
The... kind of the reason I let it slide, no pun intended, was that his computer was literally on the way out, and he had had such a shitty day, this game seemed really fitting to post about. But that's what Cheap and Dirty Gamers for. This one was just dirtier than usual, but I'm glad that it set me up to use multiple puns in talking about it. So.
It was so appropriate.
Let's go on to our Worst of the Week in Gaming, just... anything that's been bugging you or something you'd like to change around the industry, I'll kick us off with... So, Double Fine started their second Kickstarter. I was pretty excited about that because it had one hell of an epic pitch video. I don't know if you guys saw it, but as usual, anytime I get excited about something in the game industry, just go poking around on social media a little bit, and I just saw people like trying to... bash it down a little bit, or like reach out to Tim Schafer to somehow get mad at them for starting a second Kickstarter before their first one is done. And even though that the pitch video addressed their whole issue of we've got multiple teams here, and it's just
there's a third angle or side to that, which is so Xbox or Microsoft has just busted out with, hey, if you don't have a publisher, we're not putting your games on Xbox, the new one. And Double Fine has just said, we're going to try and avoid publishers. Mm-hmm. They're going to self-publish. I don't know if that's necessarily like an actual line in the sand from Double Fine. Maybe not. Line in the sand's a little bit dramatic, but...
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that's an actual comment on what Microsoft is doing, but it did occur to me that there's a little bit of commentary going on there. Like, we're not going to hire a publisher to make our game, and Microsoft, you've just issued this ultimatum that you have to have a publisher to get your game on our ecosystem. I feel like there's something going on there. Maybe not specific, but it raised my eyebrow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I kind of appreciate Double Fine's focus to kind of own their own IPs recently. They've been trying to go after the ones that they don't own, and this is just, to me, I see this as a continuation in that effort and a way to... They're trying different ways of publishing. They've branched into free-to-play games recently with mixed results and tried to, like, continue funding... their adventure game on their site, and I think they are in a unique position to try these things because of the size and the creativity they have in their building, and for people trying to shoot them down for keeping that team together. Like, I read this reaction from an Android iOS developer that was basically going back and forth with Tim on Twitter about how, you know, our indie teams only have 4 people, maybe you should let some people go, and he's just kind of... that he missed the entire point. Like, if we can get a project going that people believe in, we can keep this team around. I'd rather try to keep these jobs than just be, you know, be ultra indie just to do it. And I don't know. It was just... I was feeling really good after watching that video and the fact that people found something to shit on, and it just kind of irritated me.
Come on, man. Don't you know the rule? Don't read the comments.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a good point. Gifford, what's your worst in the week in gaming?
I think it's going to have to be focus groups. Because I really, you know, I saw Fuse early on, and I don't want to say forgot about it, but there was a whole lot going on, and I didn't really think about it a whole lot, and then it popped up again, and it had changed enough that I didn't recognize Fuse between the first time I saw it, and the second time I saw it, and at least the scuttlebutt is that the reason it changed so much is because the focus group that Insomniac looked at said, hey, they our focus group is saying, oh, this looks like something that my little brother, who's like 12, would want to play. And first off, the 13 to 19-year-old group, don't ever do a focus group on them. They're fucking idiots. Like, I was a fucking idiot when I was in that age group. So were both of you, I imagine. It's sort
no
of
comment.
I was ready for Aaron to just sign off. It's like, this is not an interrogation.
What's happening?
But, you know, in addition to which, the whole demographic issue of gamers, the majority of gamers are not in that age group of the folks group that changed the way that game was set up. Like, yeah. I love Ratchet and Clank. And that was not designed for the, wow, I'm in another age group now, the 32 to 39. Mm-hmm. But I would totally go back and play Ratchet and Clank, even though it's cartoony and doesn't have cuss words.
I also heard somebody like comparing it to the appeal of The Incredibles, like in what Pixar manages to do most of the time, of bridging the gap between audiences, having something for everybody. And honestly, from Ratchet and Clank, which is Insomniac's best work, you know, especially compared to where Resistance went, like I was hoping that they would stay in that realm. They're kind of in a unique position to do that. And yeah, it's really frustrating to see Fuse kind of get dumbed down or made even more generic. I mean, I think it has other issues, but that, I think you're right. The fact that they overthought this one.
Yeah, the Gears of War sized it. And, I mean, no disrespect to Gears of War, but that's what they did with Fuse, and they shouldn't have.
No.
And so it's a bummer, and it's the fault of a bunch of 13 to 19-year-olds. Whose opinion should be disregarded pretty much all the time.
Should be silenced.
And I don't think anyone that has just come out of that age bracket would argue with you.
No, they wouldn't. Like, oh, I was an idiot. I'm sorry. If I said anything for like that 6-year period, just ignore it.
Aaron, what's your worst?
My worst of the week is pretty much Anita Sarkeesian's, I think I said her name right, Tropes versus Video Games, Women in Video Games, Part 2 for Damsel in Distress came out. And I'm perfectly fine with her putting out these videos and doing what she wants to do. And I don't see why there are people out there that just want to silence her. And that video came up on YouTube, and I'm like, oh, it's finally up. And then I found out it didn't exist anymore because it got flagged by people. And they got it taken down.
I'm sorry, those thumbs up was in support of Anita Sarkeesian.
Oh, yeah.
Not at getting taken down.
Yeah, I thought that's what you were doing.
We're all reacting. I don't know. Again, maybe, you know, I should expect bad things out of comments, and we should always expect bad things. But for some reason, I was like, I thought we had this argument over her first video. What did you?
Yeah.
What did you expect?
Again?
And like, and she had, you know, they did a Kickstarter just to do this video series.
Yeah.
And I was like, you should know what's coming, and all of these arguments against her and just bashing the videos and trying to what was it somebody was saying, just like. Men defending the fact that there's no sexism in video games. It's just tiring and generic, and I can't believe I don't know why I'm surprised, but I can't believe we're going through this again with the second video. Why can't
are we really having this discussion again?
Yeah. Why can't we just accept like how interesting the points are that she's bringing up? Like,
well, GTZ, and I don't know her actual name in real life, but
that's
she
fine.
From Horrible Night, it's at GT, or not from Horrible Night, excuse me, from fatuglerslutty.com. She and I sort of had a brief Twitter conversation about it, and it was just like, you know, there were some comments disabled on this, and some people were going, oh, censorship, which she got a real kick out of because she's not American, and she says every conversation about censorship on the internet automatically orbits around the First Amendment, which I think is hysterical. But it eventually comes down to the whole, like, you know what? If somebody started saying shit like, go make a sandwich on our website, I would block your comments or shut it down. Like, sorry.
Yeah, that's not helpful kind of stuff to say.
Or we'd have Ethan make a terrible song about you.
Yeah, Ethan make... But then I would encourage it. Everyone, just come on Horrible Night and talk about sandwiches.
He's gonna, or he'll send him to your house and he's gonna sing for you for 24 hours straight about nothing. Yeah, I just it's a shame that the it's a shame in regards that everybody's talking about it because of the negativity it's getting, but at the same time it's also promoting what she's doing, and I think these videos are great, and so hopefully I don't think it's deterring the production of them by any means. It's just kind of
I don't think so.
I was like, guess what?
I think she's saying some worthwhile stuff, and she's doing some good research.
Yeah, I think that's what I like about it is the effort that's going into the research and how well that's coming about in those videos. So
yeah, I thought part two was better than part one. Part one, I mean, it's easy to find things to disagree with.
Can we
agree
that her first album was even better?
No, the best album was the one that nobody's talking about that I heard about before.
The first album was better than her first album.
Yeah.
Anita Hipsters.
Josh's worst of the week is the Star Trek the movie The Game. He's one of the biggest Star Trek fans I've ever met, and he had to give The Game a shot. Thought it might be decent. It's not. So
I'm sorry, Josh.
Oh.
On to brighter things. Your best of the week, Gifford.
What the hell are my favorite things this week?
You want me to read your notes?
Would you please? I'm sorry, I was not keeping up with my shit. My favorite thing this week is replayability. That kind of jumped out at me because, partly with the puppies, I haven't had time to like do the whole grind. I know I'm using the puppies like I just had a baby.
It's fine. You got two of them.
Yeah, I have two of them, and they just learned to climb the stairs. But, you know, I haven't had a bunch of time to really pile into Defiance, which as an MMO you really have to do. But
did you unlock the clown car? That's what I pictured when you said pile into Defiance. Sorry, keep going.
I'm sorry, you said clowns, and I just had flashbacks, childhood night terrors. Anyway, I'm going back playing Mass Effect 3 and doing my perfect playthrough. But I'm playing with sort of different mixes of characters just to listen to different conversation options. And it just reminded me of how awesome it is when you're playing a game or even watching a movie where the second or third or fifth time you catch something you never caught before. Like, I remember the first time I caught the copper top line in The Matrix when I referred to Neo as copper top. Same kind of thing. Like, sometimes there's an aside or something you don't catch even the third time through, and it pops out and is kind of cool. So when a game has a lot of replayability, especially in the last.
I was gonna say you are Mr. Completionist around here, and the fact that you're still finding new things in Mass Effect, just it. I imagine all the things I'm actually missing. It also reminds me. I think in the past week, somebody discovered a new side mission in Final Fantasy IX. And that was
wow.
So there's always things to find in some of these larger games for sure. But
well, I mean, shit, you're definitely better at math than I am. Just with the combinations of three characters out of what the max I think you've had is 9. I mean, times all the missions.
There's a factorial in there somewhere that'll give us our answer.
So
imaginary numbers. Multiply it by Google.
So. Googleplex.
No, yeah, I mean, even if you have played every scenario with every potential character in Mass Effect, the combinations of the characters, there's always that side of just those lines, especially that pop up in certain situations that.
Yeah. And I mean, my favorite ones are the ones when you're playing with characters from Mass Effect 1, because there are a lot of sort of inside jokes that they bust out with that I will have to pause the game with because that would be loud. So anyway, that's why it's one of the best things this week.
I want them to have inside jokes that the other characters get like feel awkward and out of place on. Hey, Adam, what's your best?
BioWare, are you listening?
Gifford's got things for you, BioWare. My best of the week is the Humble Bundle 8 has come out. We're at 8. We're almost at 10. I'm going to own all the games. I'll never be able to buy a bundle again, but I bought this one primarily for 2 games, and I already owned like half of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, so which ones didn't you have?
I did not have Thomas Was Alone, okay, which is like the blocks and doing platforming, and then I didn't have Proteus, which I believe is a kind of laid-back first-person walk around the world, and I guess the definition of game, I don't know how true it applies to that, but I've heard it's worth experiencing, and it was in the bundle, so...
I pretty much had all of them, but I like the idea of owning another copy of Hotline Miami just to give to somebody.
More people need to beat up gangsters.
More people
violently.
Need to question.
That soundtrack, though, alone.
Their soundtrack is drugs, man. That thing is
awesome. It is drugs. Speaking about being trapped in your own body, playing Hotline Miami, I had to be alone.
Did you see the fan-made Hotline Miami, like, short film they made? Like,
I did not know that existed.
Yeah, go track that down. It's pretty disturbing. It's basically,
that sounds scary. Yeah. You're scaring me.
Yeah, it's crazy. My best of the week actually goes to Sony, and how cool they're playing with it, while Microsoft keeps, like, putting their foot in their mouth to things like... how we're going to handle used games next round when Sony's probably going to end up doing something really similar. But the fact that they have been able to avoid the conversation and Microsoft just keeps just like stumbling into potholes left and right as far as not really knowing what their stance is, but talking about it anyway. And I mean, I think, you know, if you're a fan of used games, trading games, of keeping your console offline or having backwards compatibility, you're not going to be happy with the next batch of consoles. And
probably not.
Everything that Microsoft keeps screwing up, like, Sony's going to play it pretty similarly, but they, right now, you know, they only have positive press around them. So I think
they're keeping their mouth shut.
I love that they're just like, they're not going to be that different, but they don't have to say anything, and Microsoft just won't shut up and can't get out of the way of themselves. So it's been fun to watch how well Sony has done managing their console news versus what Microsoft has done. So, and completely the opposite of what I expected, honestly. So.
Well, to be fair, their console news is it's more powerful.
Period.
Yeah, I stopped talking because that's their console news. It's more powerful.
Share. Josh's
Skype.
Best of the week is Star Trek Online. They've added Romulans. He still says it's the best MMO on the market. And then a bunch of acronyms.
Oh, we'll see.
Including YOLO. And then
you can't say YOLO here.
And then Verdean's best of the week is Valve is training people to be friendly to each other with a communication ban because they've started to put out some statistics related to how they've been handling banning players in Dota 2. And again, Valve continues to explore a lot around They keep trying a lot of new ideas with their franchises, and it's really interesting to see some of their experiments and, you know, trying to figure out ways to, you know, reward players that help the community and actually find ways to hurt players that take things down. And the fact that some of these bans of, you know, if you're misbehaving in the game, just not letting you use voice chat for 3 days or whatever, or a certain number of games, seems to be pretty effective.
What a blessing.
So, yeah, Verdian, I cannot wait to read this article because that just the headline, I was like, that may be my favorite thing this week. Even above replayability.
Yeah. And there's also Space Pants. News about a possible sequel to Mirror's Edge. I saw all that stuff today, so.
That needs to exist.
Hey,
that needs
never
to
time
not
for
exist.
It.
Oh, counter argument.
do you ever rebuttal?
yeah, the screenshots make me nauseous. Like, heights are something to be respected.
So I shouldn't play it?
Oh. Someone should teach that child to fear and respect that escalator.
We're going to get out of here with our question of the week. This came up recently. I wrote about this that I reconnected with a close friend of mine that used to be a big gamer. He hasn't had much time for games in the past year or two. And we were getting caught up, and I only had like a small amount of time to show him what he's been missing. And I'm kind of curious if you had a gamer that had amnesia for the last year, year and a half, what do you think the first three or four games you'd show them would be?
Huh.
Where would you start, Aaron? Give me a couple.
I would just show him Guild Wars 2 and then lock the door and leave.
Give her...
I don't know, man. A year and a half, like, we're at the end of the console cycle, so I'm sort of stumped a little bit. Like, what have I played in the last year and a half that has really just made my head explode? That you haven't played, that wasn't a sequel? I don't know.
You're setting your own parameters here. So,
Well, no, I'm just saying, like...
Lollipop Chainsaw.
If only. So we were sprinting through my list, and what started this off is he wanted to see Neverwinter because he's a D&D fan, and I've been talking about that game, and we'd played the Warcraft beta back in the day. He used to play a bunch of EverQuest. So while that was loading up, because with all these free to play games, I had a giant patch to download before I could play it. I showed him PlanetSide 2.
Dishonored. I would show him Dishonored.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
We did PlanetSide 2, and then we did Far Cry 3. I wanted to show him the just the crazy open worldness and the animals in that game. Needed to hunt a shark, basically. And then for some reason, like he glanced at the list, and we spent most of the time with Devil May Cry, the most recent one, which I thought was kind of interesting, so we had a big long talk about how what actually happened to get that game out, and then it kind of hit me that right now that's still kind of my game of the year, and now that I had been thinking about it harder, so, and then
Devil
my mistake...
Devil May Cry is your game of the year?
So far, for me.
So far.
Yeah.
Alright, well.
And then I did not get to show him Bioshock Infinite, that was next on the list. Oh, should have shown him Minecraft, I'm checking out the rest of what chat suggested. Binary Domain.
It's kind of a hard one to show.
Yeah, that's...
If you had something pre-built, maybe?
Now I've got two to my backlist. I knew Bioshock Infinite, but... Alright, well, Devil May Cry. Alright.
Yeah! Aaron, do you disagree? You played it.
I do not disagree.
Okay,
alright. I like Devil May Cry.
Wow.
DMC.
Okay. Well, I'm excited. Like, I know it's technically it's a sequel, but I've never touched the series, so it'll be new to me. And it's a reboot. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's like more like a reboot than a sequel, but
fun as hell to play, man.
Yeah.
Shit.
Can we please comment on the size of the new Kinect camera? No, because I haven't looked at the dimensions.
It's the size of a 12-pack of Diet Root Beer.
Can you sit on it?
Or that's like what people have been using to see if it'll fit in front of their TV.
So, I mean, it's bigger than like a center speaker. We're talking...
Yeah, it's like three sound bars.
Can you do gymnastics on it?
I think
so. Well, it'll make it easier to mount.
Oh, don't mount your... don't mount
your... Wow, I knew that was going to end badly as soon as I said it. It will. Just saying.
I think that's going to do it for this week's episode. We will be back again with Top Video Game Podcast of the Week next week. Thanks for everybody for hanging out in chat. As always, we will post questions weekly on our Facebook page so you can interact with the show. And we will... What are you laughing at?
Birds die.
Josh just posted this GIF of the new Kinect, and it made me laugh a lot. I'm sorry.
Keep it together. We're trying to wrap the show. Actually, I think we're
professionals.
No, we're not. All right. Well, we'll be back with another episode next week. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time.